We're now at what stage are we on now? After adolescence, diba? Next is prime, okay? Prime stage, or the profitability stage, by this diagram. What are the salient observations about this stage? The prime organization has developed into its most productive stage. It has, number one, a clear vision. Number two, a responsive structure. Number three, a functional system. Number four, formal plans. Five, results orientation. Six, growing sales and profits. Seven, performance appraisal for staff. Eight, new subsidiaries or organizations may be developed. The organization has a clear mission, its strategy in place, its programs or products clearly defined, and then work on them with confidence. The problems of this transition stage will include, number one, not having enough trained people. Number two, focus on personal conflicts. Nandiyan ba lahat yan? Sa notion, okay. Next is preoccupation with SIR or smooth interpersonal relationships. And number three, enjoyment of the success. The organization has arrived and things are becoming routine. Ideally, the organization should remain in this prime stage. But this rarely occurs unless it plans to do so. Over time, there is a decline in aspirations for those in power, and the organization begins to focus inside. In earlier stages of development, interpersonal conflict produced growth, change, and development. Now the organization turns its attention to reduce internal conflicts, to create a better interpersonal climate, or improve human relations. It seeks to enjoy the fruits of yesterday's labor. When these things happen, the organization is advancing into maturity and the beginning of organizational decline. The only prevention seems to be the willingness to decentralize and create new centers of action that can experience the development process from the very beginning. Okay? So what are the yung chart ulit na, yung diagram ulit natin? Ano yung, okay, sa prime, if you notice, the three letters are capitalized. Production, administration, and entrepreneurship are all vital components. Interpersonal relationships are there, but still not the primary emphasis. Now, what happens? The next stage, okay, so again, just quoting from this guy, ideally, we want to be here in this stage, right? And keep perpetuating, but you don't just do that without making interventions. And that's part of what we want to discuss later on. If we just let things be the way they are, it will come into the stable or the mature stage. The mature organization is still productive in terms of existing products and services. The administrative system is in place. The production is still high but has lost much of its sense of vision. The flexibility, innovation, and creative energy are in decline. Notice the small e. System has taken over leadership. It does not want to tackle new worlds but would rather enjoy the one that it has created. It is still results-oriented, well-organized, and there is less conflict than in the previous stage. The management does not encourage change. It just wants to protect the status quo. Its new preoccupation that saps the energy of the organization is people relationship. One notices that the capital I at this stage. Its members seek to enjoy the time spent with each other. SIR is needed, but not at the expense of vision. Balance is needed. The sense of urgency is gone. New ideas are received without enthusiasm, either for or against. The organization is on the way down. You know, I think Kevin York mentioned this. He mentioned a book that he read recently, and he said, what keeps organizations growing is a sense of urgency. When you say sense of urgency, not that everything has to be done right away, but they think there's a sense that the task is not yet fully accomplished. And I'd like to think that at least when he said this two, three years ago, he gave us a commendation. He said, there is a sense of urgency in this ministry. Okay? Now that was about 2 to 3 years ago, by the way. Okay? Right in this very room. So I don't know where we are now. Hopefully we're still there. So the sense of urgency is gone. In fact, if you want to discuss that, what does that really mean? Okay. New ideas are received without enthusiasm, either for or against. The organization is on the way down. If the org continues to decline, it will lose its result orientation as well. It is a process of deterioration. The following are the characteristics of a stable organization. Lower expectation of growth, fewer expectations to conquer new markets, technologies, frontiers, start to focus on past achievements instead of future vision, suspicious of change, rewards those who do what they are told to do, more interested in interpersonal relationship than risks, plans are short range for profitability, budgets for research and marketing are cut. What is needed is a renewal of purpose and for the organization to develop a new sense of mission. Unlike biological life, take note of this, it is not inevitable, though probable, that organizations die. If this occurs, the cure must come from the outside in the form of a major renewal type activity that causes the organization to develop a new sense of mission. So apparently, there comes a point in time where some outside intervention might actually be necessary. Now, think about, I know Pastor Joey raves about the Jesuits, okay, the organization. You probably heard him say that. But it's a valid point because the Jesuit organization is a 450-year-old organization. Most Christian universities are just a few hundred years old. So the Jesuits have actually, many business organizations, I don't know, some of the oldest companies, P&G, what, 150 some years old? What was that? There was a bank that collapsed. Barclays, was it? Can you imagine that? I mean, these organizations can actually die. And his point is, organisms eventually, I don't know how we can perpetually keep the S-curve for us, okay? I mean, this is the only S-curve I think that matters for now. Okay, for individuals, I don't know if we can revert, but for organizations, apparently it can. Okay, because as I said, there are organizations that have outlived even its founders many times over. Corporations, institutions, educational institutions, and so on and so forth. UP is 100 years old, Ateneo is 150, UST is what? 400. Okay, so I guess it still exists. So I guess those things do happen. Okay? So, anyway. Next is the aristocracy. Ano ba yung sa stable? Production, administration, and integration, okay, which is the people's side of things. I hope you understand this. This doesn't mean that people's side is not important, but that's not the driver or the emphasis or the energy given to that. Mm-hmm. Next is aristocracy or stagnancy. If the organization decline continues, the next stage is aristocracy. The climate of the aristocratic organization is stale. The people in power have an unconscious fear about the organization and its future, but it's never expressed. The organization seems paralyzed by its admiration of its past achievement. There is success paralysis. According to Lawrence Miller, aristocrats, perhaps because they have inherited their assets, are not emotionally attached to it. They are not a manager at all. He is a pretender to the throne. He has his own ideas and philosophies at work. He doesn't listen to what people are crying about in the organization. Money is spent on control systems, staff training, benefits, and facilities. Emphasis is on how things are done rather than why and what and why it is done. Notice the big A and I. People are expected to be grateful. No one should make waves. There is low internal innovation. Management is not production-driven, but it is cash-rich. Assets far exceed liabilities, and it still has a market for its products. It's good potential commodity for corporate raiders or take over. In business, the corporation just buys other companies to acquire new products. Dress becomes more important and more formal. People may be referred to as Mr. or Mrs. or Mr. So-and-so. Speech becomes convoluted and elusive. Meetings take place in the boardroom. Agendas are formalized. No one questions, no one challenges. At this stage, an outside intervention is needed to shake them out of their complacency. A consultant is needed, perhaps more of an insultant, to get someone's attention and force divergent thinking. Suddenly I'm reminded of PLDT. PLDT, when I was a teenager, I had a friend who would work as a lineman. And man, I mean, all sorts of crazy things they did in installing lines. I mean, it was a source of just making extra money. But obviously PLDT, I think when Metro Pacific bought into it, Now it's one of the most, 10 most well-managed companies in Asia. Apparently, I think I read that recently. So I guess Manny Pangilinan must have done something good. So I guess that organization, which was on its decline, was actually rejuvenated through outside leadership coming in. So I'm not promoting PLDT. I'm just using this grid to look at that organization. Next is early bureaucracy. So nakita nyo, ano ba yung aristocracy, ang administration, tsaka yung integration, di ba? Next, early bureaucracy, the witch hunt. In early bureaucracy, the administrative is still in place, the big A, but the organization is just no longer visionary. In fact, for all purposes, already gone. Kaya wala na yung E. Di ba? Yung E yung nung entrepreneurship, di ba? Yung nagdadala ng vision eh. That indefinable something, that sense of wrongness in the organization comes to the surface. The day of reckoning has arrived. The organization is hit with the bad news that there is a crisis. Major sources of funds may refuse further support, and the media may launch an attack against the product, service, or organization. A new board may decide to change the executive, or beneficiaries or programs may band together to protest. When this occurs, the Mutual Admiration Society is dissolved and knives are drawn. Okay, saksaka na, di ba? Notice a small eye, exactly. Internal turf wars in the organization. There is much conflict, backstabbing, and infighting. Paranoia freezes the organization. Everyone is lying low. Okay, iwas away lahat. The management responds not with what is the problem and how can we solve it. Rather, it creates a reign of terror. The question is, who is responsible? As if solving the who equals solving the what. The preoccupation is search for scapegoats. The organization becomes religious. It's time to appease the gods, which calls for a sacrifice. Who should be sacrificed among the staff? Hirap nun, di ba? If you work for an organization, you know, there are organizations like that exist today. Okay? Every management decision is suspect. Cliques and coalitions form, and energies are directed primarily towards group survival or personal survival. The better people either are fired or they resign. They leave for other organizations or start new ones. More bitter people are likely to hang on long after they cease to perform a useful function. What are left are the mediocre. Oh man, okay. On the other hand, if you're working for an autocrat, you can become an intrapreneur. Work out your own ideas with the org and hope that the next CEO will see your efforts and do something. Unless the organization has access to external source of funds, with its lack of achievement, it will eventually die. If it can continue to get funding, it will move to the next phase. Again, the only cure seems to be surgical intervention of an outsider with the power to remove some of the key players. I think if I remember some of our business cases before, you know, companies like Chrysler, you know, in the 80s, and there was a management crisis in corporate America, you know, where the big car companies were just about to fold up. And I remember, who was that guy? Lee Iacocca. I think they were heralding him as this Messiah, but he didn't really do much. I mean, he just wrote a book. Okay. So, there are many like that. I find it kind of interesting in corporate America, many times what they do is they bring in someone from the outside, you know, and he just causes all of these things to take place rather than, there's something about raising leaders from within. Now, again, this is not an absolute statement, but this has just been an observation of mine in the context of corporate organizations. I think it's still better, more often than not, to have someone from within become the leader. So anyway, this is corporations, okay? Not, I don't know if that's true in ministry organizations necessarily. Next is bureaucracy or the comatose stage. Medyo ano na, okay, naghihikahos na to, okay? In full bureaucracy, the only things are left are forms, procedures, and paperwork. The only big thing is the A. Inadminister na lang, okay? No more EPI. Very little which is meaningful is accomplished. The original purpose of establishing a strong admin system in stage 4 was to provide the integration and coordination of diverse elements. In a period of decline, the purpose becomes lost. As Miller points out, unchecked administration inevitably leads to bureaucracy and the decline of creativity and the decline of wealth creation. So, administration is so important. But if you let administration run things, the purpose is not so much accomplished. The very distinctive characteristic of this stage is the worship of the written word. Everything must be put in writing. Okay? A story is told about an able president for Youth for Christ. Okay, this is a ministry organization, international, who kept on firing memoranda to his staff, and when he got sick, it was said he had a memo pause. Okay. Yet it only gets lost in the mountain of files. It has many systems, but no functional orientation. It dissolves, it dissociates from its environment and focuses mostly on itself. The atmosphere eventually turns to peace and serenity. The battles are over, and often the people who remain are among the nicest to deal with. They agree on everything. They just don't do anything. In fact, the staff may not know what certain things are done in the organization. It runs on ritual, not on reason. People are coasting along, maximizing benefits and waiting for retirement. Bureaucracy, according to Peter Berger, posits the non-separability of means and ends. The means are as important or nearly so as the ends. In fact, the means justify the end. What is important is that the rules are followed to the letter. It's kind of like the Pharisees, isn't it? Jesus healed someone on the Sabbath, but they rebuked him for violating the Sabbath rather than rejoicing that someone was healed. The proper procedure is given moral value. Here's a good example of the letter kills while the Spirit gives. In this sense, a bureaucratic administration is predictable. Everything is reduced to defined categories or components. Everything must be orderly. If the legitimate end is achieved by an illegitimate means, the integrity of the system is affected, so much so that the damage outweighs any positive benefits from the action. At this stage, the organization is more interested in perfecting procedure rather than achieving any vision. And finally, the last stage, okay? So I hope you're not discouraged by now. Death or the funeral, okay? The final phase is death. The letters representing the essential elements of the organization are gone. But some bureaucracies never get there. They just go on and on. If such is the case, they continue without the life or sense of purpose. But the machinery must go on because there is money to be spent because the employees form a political block to certain people. Otherwise, it's best to conduct a funeral and move on to liquidation at the earliest possible time. Now, why go through all of this exercise? Because as these guys say, these things happen to organization. Now, certainly our hope is that this doesn't happen to our ministry organization. I think all of us have invested too much into this that we don't want this to happen. So I want us now to have a time of interaction. We'll do that in small groups first. Ado, how do we do this? Ilang tables ba to? We can group ourselves into what? How many groups? Ilang ba sila? 2, 4, 6, 7, 9, 11, 14? Oh. 6655. Oh, so yeah, could you guys do this? Before you do that, I want you to answer two questions. How long will we give them? And then we'll make a quick presentation. 15 minutes? That should be enough, right? Group yourselves into five or six people each. I mean, you're all leaders. And I want you to answer two questions. Number one, where are we now in the ministry organization life cycle? I guess there's two dimensions to it. One is overall, and the other one is maybe, I guess, on your congregational level. Okay, you can get into that. So where are we and why? Number two is how can we prevent our ministry from moving into the decline and plateau and decline stage, assuming that we're not there yet, okay? So take the next 15 minutes, and then we will have each one of you have someone to present, okay? We'll have our interaction. Okay, who's a spokesman for each group? Pakitaas lang yung kamay. Sino may mauuna? Oh, Noel.
The first Noel.
Okay, where do you think we are? Nasaan na ba yung diagram? Pakilagay mo nga.
Hello. Okay, Pastor Manny, with all humility daw, sabi ni Pastor June. We feel like
Can you show that? No? Sorry. Ayun. Okay, where we are? Where are we?
We feel like we are 4.2 something, 4.7, 4.8. So we are almost, we're about to go to the 5. Pero more on number 4 kami, tayo.
So please. When you say, please.
Ano ba, sorry, prime. Adolescence stage. Going to prime.
All the way, okay.
Yeah, going
and to the prime. Reason being?
See, the reason being is because we already have that management functions. We mm-hmm. have the manuals that are written. There, we are having consultants now like Paul Barker, and we have several people who are come, Alex Castillo and all that. And there's the rebirth of the organization. And then if you also look at where we are right now, there's a clear mission and vision right now. We already have that structure in place, yung discipleship, yung weekend service, and pastoral, etc. And then we are, so that's what we feel we are right now, Pastor Manny.
Okay, so more towards, so in between adolescence and prime, but more towards the prime.
More towards the prime.
Okay, good. Next, yes, yeah, Richard.
Kami naman, sabi niya 4.8, nasa 5 na kami, so plus 0.2.
Okay.
We feel like we're in the prime naman because there are some pointers na nakita namin. Sabi rito, growing sales and profits. Parang ano na tayo eh. We're growing not just in attendance but even as far as leadership is concerned, marami na nare-raise up na leaders ganyan, and then performance appraisal of staff, we have this like yearly for the admin and even I think this year for the pastors, basically for us to know where we are and how we can further improve as a leadership team. And then in recent years we've added some small departments to address the growing needs of Victory. Tapos, this year we have the staff dev, so I think this is helping out further. Parang ganun.
Okay, so done. All right. Sino pa ba iba? Sino? Richard? Okay.
Sa amin po, napagkasunduan namin because of the facts that the data that we have. Nasa in between po tayo ng prime and stable,
okay.
Because our church attendance has grown, even our worship services. Pero so production, administration, and integration mataas po tayo. Pero entrepreneurship, because our small group leaders have declined, so kaya po kami nag-base na in between prime and stable. Ayan. Tapos,
in between o mas leading towards the prime or stable?
Leading towards stable.
Okay.
So that's ang ano namin, conclusion namin, in order for us to start again, yung ginagawa po natin ngayong discipleship coaching, tapos just one campaign, and even it's time na raw po for church planting. Mm-hmm. So sabi ni Pastor.
What time is it?
What time is it? So church planting time.
Okay. All right. Good. Next, sino pa ba yung ano? Oh, Rodnell, sige bro.
Sa group naman po namin, between adolescence and prime, but more on adolescence, parang ganun. 4.5, 4.4. Because yun, right now we are on a season where we are putting everything into writing, the job description, manuals written, tapos yung we hired nga mga staff dev, tapos yung system management and delegation, we are on the process of improving that. Tapos yung mga transition nung mga senior pastors to the young ones, tapos yung compensation package, of course, we experienced all of that. And a little of the prime where there's clear vision and mission, responsive structure. Yung system na yung structure natin yan, responsive naman to what we need and functional system. So far yung worship service, pastoral care at saka yung discipleship ministry is really functioning well naman for us. So nandun, 4.5.
Okay. Oh, meron pa ba? May isa pa yatang grupong wala, di ba? Lahat naman nag-present? Ilang teams ba? Apat lang ba yun?
Four.
Okay. So, if you, anyway, we have one more question we haven't answered, no? So it seems like most of all of you are in this really in this range, diba? From ano. So I think I agree for the most part with that assessment, because again from our vantage point, of course I think the more we hear the inputs of others, the more we can actually plot out, diba? Like a scatter point, what do you call that? Scatter point graph. Ano nga yun? Kalimutan ko na yun. Oh, anyway. Basta, dun sa management team, okay? Banda rito rin eh. Wala naman nagsasabing nandito tayo. Wala naman nagsasabing nandito tayo. Almost all are here. Now, of course, as I said, there's two perspectives. One is the ministry organization as a whole in Metro Manila. The other one is the individual congregation. Because right across here, I see different stages, whether you're in a new church plant or whether you're a stable or just a growing momentum or just some... So, but overall, it seems like this is really where we all are at. Now, share with me some of the things. Now, I know that you mentioned specific things like the one-to-one campaign, but in a general sense, how do you prevent an organizational decline? Okay? Now, I know that can be quite broad. I mean, I have some specific answers that I've gotten from our, at least the materials I've read, but it's, I'd still like to know, at least knowing what you know from here, how would you, no. Dennis, did you have something? Yeah.
What I mentioned earlier was we should maintain the tension that we have where ideas can be challenged. And because sabi ko nga, thesis, antithesis, and synthesis, that's where we go to the next level. Once we start looking too much on interpersonal, where I will just agree with you because just for the sake of agreeing with you, walang tension, I think that's where we start to stagnate.
Okay, so a healthy dose of, what do you call that again?
I call it tension.
Tension, okay.
And I think that's what we have right now.
Okay, sure. Between, you mentioned ideas, I'm sorry, new ideas.
The ability to challenge ideas.
Challenge idea, okay.
Not persons, but ideas.
Healthy tension in being able to challenge ideas. Existing ideas, I guess. Or bring in new ideas. Yeah, okay. Yeah. Okay, anybody else? Before that, I guess this is really in the... there was one of the... Meron kay sinabi kanina. May sinabi siya dun eh, na... Anyway, I guess, kasi entrepreneurship is really fostered through ideas, eh. Diba? In other words, if you don't challenge the existing ideas, then in a way there's no room for entrepreneurial initiatives. Okay, not that every idea, a new idea, will necessarily work. Actually, if how many of you have had ideas? It bombed, okay? Mm-hmm. But you tried it anyway, okay? There's another to that. So, yes, Noel.
Sa recommendation po namin, in order to prevent the aging, as si Pastor Bong strongly suggested, para to prevent daw from aging, we need to retire the old to be able to increase the salary of the young. Retired the old dog.
Okay.
But on the serious note, we need to be a learning organization. By okay. that meaning, we need to constantly battle the we've arrived syndrome.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why we are in the process of continuously learning. Like we have the staff, the training, we have consultants coming in, and we also need to continue empowering the youth, the emerging leaders. And just like what Pastor Steve has mentioned, okay, we always remember to reach the poor, the young, and the lost with the gospel. And at the same time, we also mentioned like we constantly get ourselves with the risk. You know, how do we do it by having that vision on church planting and trusting the emerging leaders with leadership and having a clear glimpse pa rin of world missions.
Okay. Good. Yeah. I'll reserve comment on that, but that's very important what you just said. Anybody else? Yes, Noel.
Personally, I would recommend exploring new ministry opportunities that is still in line with our mission vision statement. Okay. It may be new. It may be something that we have done for the very first time. It could be creative. It may be something that we haven't done before, but it's still in line with our mission and vision statement. It would bring freshness in our ministry. It would bring new people with unique giftings that are appropriate for that ministry, and would bring more color in our ministry somehow.
Okay. Yes, Richard.
Probably continually casting the vision. Yes, we have a clear understanding of our mission vision, but as we continually cast the vision, the history of where we started, it will promote awareness and even passion for the people. As you have said, vision precedes creation, so it's important to continually cast a vision.
Okay. Good. Sige. Anybody else?
Just nakikin lang ako sinabi ni Pastor Noel about the freshness. I don't know if this is just a remnant of the take dominion part of our vision before. Pero I knew there was a plan before about training leaders in different fields of society, like school of government and a school of... Kasi if as a church we can train, you know, leaders in this field with biblical principles, school of music, you know, something like that, that comes from a biblical perspective. I don't know if that's still in line with that. But.
Okay. Oh, meron pa? Okay. Can you go back to the org chart? I have an interest. I just have an observation with all your recommendations, no? And balik tayo dun. Okay. I noticed that much of your ideas have actually been in the entrepreneurial realm. Whether it's new ideas, new opportunities. I didn't really hear, heard, if at all, anything to improve on administration. I think that dimension, and maybe because if I remember correctly, when I asked the administrative team, the management team, some of their recommendations had more to do with, you know, improving our systems. I don't know if you realize this, there's still a lot that needs to be improved. Whether it's our information systems, our management, communication, there's a lot that needs to be. And I guess you being spiritual leaders, it's natural for you to keep the vision burning, do this and that. Okay? And sure, maybe I'm saying that to simply enlarge your perspective because you know, some of you are lead pastors, some of you are discipleship pastors. The more, and even if you're not necessarily the senior pastor, because I think I know from a ministry organizational standpoint, you know, senior pastor has the most responsibility in the context of a local congregation. But if we have congregations of 5,000 and more, even though if you're a lead pastor, discipleship pastor, you're still spiritually responsible for thousands of people. And I hope you realize that your perspective cannot just be just on spiritual leadership. It has to be in the management, administrative side as well. Not that you're doing everything, you understand? But you have to develop that perspective as well, or else when you make decisions, and let me give you a feedback. This is not necessarily, you know, something for us as pastors to be indicted on, but sometimes I hear from our management people, our admin team, what happens sometimes is pastors make decisions without looking at the implications for additional administrative load on the staff. Okay? And so, yes, it's easy to be entrepreneurial. It's easy to come up with this new program or that, but you can't just do that without looking at the implications on running those programs. And so, now, I'm not saying that you're neglectful because of that. I'm just saying, just based on your comments and your recommendations, your orientation is really towards spiritual leadership, and rightfully so. But I'm hoping that by virtue of this teaching, that you develop a management perspective as well a management leadership perspective, not just a spiritual leadership perspective. Did you get that? Okay, so anyway, let me just share with you any last comments, because I want to give just a quick input from Malfers, and it pretty much validates your answers. Okay, so voila. All right, well, he said this, using the S-curve. No? So how do you prevent a decline in the ministry organization? There's three ways, primary ways. Well, number one is church planting. Okay, number two is church growth. And number three is church revitalization. Those are his three answers to creating new S-curves in a ministry organization. Church plant, church growth, and church revitalization. And without going much into that, I think that probably explains why we, even though, you know, we've actually grown already in the past, it seems like by the grace of God we're still growing, although admittedly, if you look at our statistics in attendance and in number of small groups, we actually hit a plateau about 2-3 years ago. In fact, our small group leaders are in a plateau for the last 4 years now. So actually, in some dimensions we're okay, but in some of the others, we're not. And so that is really, I think, one thing that we're concerned about, and we're making interventions already, okay? But according to Malfers, this is how you keep. And no wonder, you know, because, you know, just in the last 2 years, what did we plant? Diba? We planted Makati, we planted Metro East, we planted, you know, Green Hills. I mean, of course, the existing congregations we have, we've done revitalization. We've changed some leadership. We've done things here and there. And it seems like it's just, you know, it's just like we keep riding this wave because by the grace of God, he's led us this way. And according to him, those are the easiest. Church growth, church plant, I think it's pretty easy to understand. Church growth is putting interventions in such a way that there's a growth momentum. And I know we're doing that. Church revitalization, I guess, is a bit harder because you're already on a plateau in decline. And ano yung mo siya, di ba? Bubuhayin mo siya ulit. I mean, hindi naman sa patay na, di ba? Pero sabihin, ha? So you're trying to gain that spiritual momentum. And so, whether it's on a congregation level or the whole ministry movement, at least from his point of view, that is what can actually keep us on that growth. And to me, I'm grateful to God that he's also given us a mission and a vision that if we keep doing it, it will actually perpetuate this ministry way beyond our lifetime. And that is the call to reach young people. To me, that is one of the best things that ever have gone for us. Now, it's not exclusive to us. I think every church should reach young people because you're reaching just because of the fact that our nation is a young nation. But because our apostolic leaders have seen this as a stewardship from God, I think as we're faithful to it, I'd like to think that, you know, 30, 50 years from now, okay, when we decline in our organizational life cycle individually, okay, okay, when we reach that point, okay, at least yung pinundar natin dito, di ba? Like what I said earlier, I think we've invested too much in this ministry, di ba? And, you know, thank God for the privilege of being a minister of the gospel, but I'd like to think that in this organization, God's blessed us with the unity, with the honoring, with the ability to have, I know, every pastor, you know, some of you I just met with, you know, the beauty of this ministry organization is there's plenty of room for everybody, isn't it? We're not competing with anybody here. I mean, there's a whole city to take. And so rather than compete with one another, we compete together and see the harvest reaped. Amen? So anyway, yun lang. I just want us to go ahead and just say that, you know, as we close this. After the break, we're going to look at our ministry organization, explain some things, and then we'll open it up to some questions. Let's take a 10-minute break now. Back at 4:20 na lang. Sige na, 4:20.